Do not despair, poet, when the arms carry you across, part of you will fall into the fire. Poems from the Hot Country. In the places I like to be, there are middays of profound heat, and the late afternoon breezes blow in, and the people who belong there say, "It comes down from the hills," or "Here the river turns this way," or "The breeze blows off the sea." And I think how nice to have this accountable part of life, like a porch on the west side, or wild mint by the hydrant. I remember a spring-fed lake in East Texas, a screen porch in Louisiana, and the times in the Northeast I sat on a fire escape in the sluice of two buildings and waited for the air to shift to rest me before night set in. Child in Louisiana. The father comes through the night of the swamp to the child who calls. His boat sits light as a mallard feather upon the water. He makes his way among cypress knees, rising like broken myths worn smooth by telling. The child hears the sound of his paddle as the noise of her own heart. Egrets shift their plumes in their sleep and call out. Reptile eyes watch. A cottonmouth uncoils and slips into the water. But the father is safe coming to the child who waits. He leaves his boat in the rushes, the swamp thickets open before him, the stars ride on his shoulders, as the child draws him through his darkness and fastens him in her night. Every summer when lower New England tilts most acutely and the trees make less long patterns in the afternoons, I listen for the hot country, where time is place and place is mind, and mind is still in its smallness. I think of the death of August and how I did not move but lay on the front porch with crust of poison ivy on my legs, with barely the burr of a fan lifting the air, the great oaks diminished and still, the concrete and soft tar and red dirt settled, and how all days the cicadas kept the steady unrest, how even now they hold me to my ear, wanting a voice. A slow day. All around the moving white walls, I sat at the stripped branch braced in the ground, crooked under the clothesline's weight, leaning off toward our blue ceiling, while Dougie's huge black arms cracked the wrinkles from each sheet, and she sang, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." Before the heat, stillness of dry grass, the pin oak gathering. Before the shades are lowered, words, dishes cleared, silence of napkins. Before the lying down, the child breathes into her glass of milk. Under the cotton gin, the ambers of the medicine bottles of our town's deaf, silent man drain. I check them daily, then climbed above to jump bales, sink in loose floss, and rest on the hard pushing lumps of the cottonseed room, my whole body quenched. "Hey, hey, armadillo, look here." Donnie Villeman is revealing life's mysteries to me. This time, the word shirt sprawled in the back of his hygiene book, and he is placing his finger over the R. How clear I am seeing it, even myself later, cupping my hand around small, spidery marks I make of that word, then stuffing the paper in the inkwell. But now it's the armadillo I see, that harmless, low-down, side-of-the-road creature, not possum, hanging sparse-haired and white from a limb in the moonlight, but ugly, ugly still, and eaten on the red dirt farms in desperate times. Long ears, active snout, living next to scuttling creatures trying to make it. Add a scale, nine-banded armadillo. And I, living in town, fresh-pressed, a starch I never wanted, plowing through every back gully and bramble, still stuck out. I see Donnie hoeing before school, bathing in the creek, and not much wanting to take Huey Long's free lunch, but sometimes not having a nickel. His smile lifts his freckles to his cowlick. He calls, and I hear no malice, but a kind of rough challenge, not without affection. Hey, armadillo! They walked in the holy places and silenced the pines. Their hands, pink and clumsy as gravel, took my ticket, Saturday matinees, Tarzan of the trees, and every fall their hands again taking, while night skies of Ferris wheels, giant star arms held me, dipped me, they stood at the gates of wonder. On Main Street, my mother pulled me back. The log trucks rolled through town. The giants of the forest where I walked were chained long ways on their sides, their limbs ripped away, and their soft green sounds gone. They lay in twos or threes, they were so big, their great bark dropped on our street. In the cabs, I saw the ones who pulled them out, the flat faces and dull eyes, the straw hair, and then the wave of their hands. The doors of the house are clamped. If I am leaving bones behind, I can pass through clapboards and keyholes. I can drop like an acorn down the chimney, split shell. I can blow through holes in the screen like pomegranate seeds. Inside is the child softer than an oyster, her large, firm eye. Me, running in, knowing I belong, past the heavy plaster walls that can scratch, past the painting of the Indian on his horse high above the plain, a real arrow stuck in his heart, Bobby put it there, past Douglas MacArthur saluting, past Jesus Christ the Lord, his face solemn and gracious and needing, then Jesus on the calendar knocking at the door, if any man answereth. My grandmother holds out her arms, and I am hugging cardboard. Lisa's corsetta, says my grandfather. But later she will rock me, and I will be soft. Then on past the chair where my grandfather sleeps after lunch, and when he is drunk, the uncles get mad, and my grandmother rocks and pats the lion's heads carved on the chair, to the case with the glass doors, taking out each bottle, turning it in the light, floating the creatures back and forth. They knock against the sides. My father and his brothers look down from the wall. I do not know Bobby, who died at 16. I hold Black Widow with the big red spot, move her around in her bottle, then take out Scorpion. His tail looks like a dry pecan leaf. If I am walking outside, as my grandmother's dog is now, around the pecan tree on his chain, I can see what is what. My father knew it first. He went to medical school and got a stethoscope. Everyone came and sat in the front parlor. Even the great aunts and uncles and the brothers came from the railroad where they worked. He was listening to everyone. He listened to Bobby. He heard his brother's heart. I lift out little Carl Snake, the worst. He floats and knocks. He is safe in my hands. He was always screaming and cursing and wanting to fight, my mother says Bobby was. My grandmother calls me to bed. I walk through the parlor where my mother says he was lying in a casket. Tomorrow, my grandmother will watch dawn. Then I will wake and hear soft sounds, prayers in German. Then she will go downstairs and make me everything I want, Zwieback and oranges. The dead are knocking with all that's left. They want to leave their metal caskets on vacant lots with used cars. They want a sheet of cotton, a wool blanket, a pine box. They want us to place them, even if they have a cancer that smells, even if they have a living germ. They want their femurs lifted by roots. They want grubs to move among their fingers. They want the touch of the living. They want the smell of the earth in spring and its firm death in winter. They want ferns to come from their eyes. They want to give their muscles to lift the trees. They want to be used. They want their children to remember how they look dead. They want the engineers to find their filled teeth when the new roads come through. I went into the woods for grief that would not let me be. I passed into a tree. I did not think strong and straight. I did not think friend or will bud again. I did not think, but passed into a tree. The winter wind moved the trunk, and that was me. An easy, barely moving move, the wind moved me, and I was tree. I did not think I am tree. I did not think, but moved. I speak it now, gently. As I am born to name my grief, and take the woods with quiet relief into my skin, and weep our planetary death, and mark our planetary end, I mourn the life that will not let me be, and pass the easy, barely moving move of kin with earth, metal, stone, and tree.